podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, April 26th. Hashtag full squad. You gotta love it. I'm J.E. Skeets. Along with me, Mr. What You Need to Know himself, Tass Mellis.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Tassie. We got the top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo!
The international man of mystery, still taking it to the Max Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last but not least, making this magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, guys. Leave your comments and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Fun week lined up for you. Already got Tass's Monday What You Need to Know up in the No Dunks YouTube feed. Also available as a podcast, of course. Later today, a little surprise Top Shot Hot Boys coming at you. Oh, look at those mugs.
On a Monday? You're crazy, Skeets.
That's right. That's right. We're going to rip some packs. And I got a fun top 10 list. The craziest shots made on Top Shot. I had a blast putting that together this weekend. So, yeah, join us if you want live at 3 p.m. Eastern. We usually do some giveaways when it comes to some moments. So if you want to join us, check us out there. The Top Shot Hot Boys, 3 p.m. Eastern here on a Monday. Email us your questions and comments for Wednesday's Beach Steppin' Podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com, and grab your merch over at nodunks.com. Guys, we got Tweet of the Night. We got Pick'em Results. We got NBA Weekend Winners and Losers. But first, crazy weekend for the wedgies and the ledgies. Oh, the ball stall nomenclature. The wedgie first. Guys, Friday night, we just don't see this often. This was exciting. I'm being serious here. Paul George gets that ball to rest on back of the rim. I always love when this does happen because Twitter's so confused as to what this is, you know?
What do you call that?
Yeah, what do you call that? You know, I saw a lot of people correctly calling it a ball stall, which it is, but that's a part of the ball stall like universe. That's a ledgy itself. Now, then people ask, do you count that as a wedgie? No, we don't. That's just once in a blue moon there, Lily. Don't get a lot of ledgies. It feels like maybe, I don't know, I want to say like once every 2 years or something like that. You don't see it often.
No, it feels like maybe a little more than that. But just for the ball to actually have to stop up there on a dime like that is just so rare that it happens. And the players don't know what to do. The referees don't know what to do because no one wants to touch it in case it's a goaltend.
Right.
So everyone just sort of stands around.
Or in case it drops in or something. Yeah, exactly. You're right. Yeah, Everybody is just waiting with bated breath. So that's a ledgy. That was fun. Friday night. Awesome. Okay, now I'm going to jump to actually Sunday. I'm doing this out of order, guys, and there's a reason why. On Sunday, one of the greatest players of all time, the greatest shooter of all time, Steph Curry.
Oh,
boom. Stuck the step back three wedgie there. So that's, of course, a no-brainer. A beautiful wedgie, a three-point wedgie. See him all the time. Awesome. Now, that's 43, or is it? Because on Friday, I'm going back now, there was a weird one, possibly a controversial one. Westbrook driving, gets it up, and then Isaiah Roby, hand, I believe, sort of through the mesh there, through the rim, called a goaltend. But of course, it wedges. So, what do we do with this one? Because it's on the Westbrook shot. Points are awarded, you know, because of the goaltend. But then, is it a dead play because of the goaltend? And the wedgie sort of does come after, of course. I mean, hey, what do you want to do, Tass? Is that a wedgie or not? Again, we would get to total 43, or are we taking it away and going back to 42? What says Tass Mellis here on a Monday?
Yeah, I would say in the 7 years of tracking wedgies, we haven't had a goaltend turned wedgie like this.
Wow.
However, it is part of the play, and we have seen other parts where a guy gets, other similar sort of plays where a guy gets fouled, throws it up. We counted a wedgie, I guess, because it's on a shot attempt, and this is on a great call by the official where a guy goes through the mesh and hits the rim, hits the mesh, and the ball gets stuck. So it doesn't seem like a basketball play. It kind of seems disconnected from the play, but it is still part of it. It is still a goaltend. It is still part of it. So, yeah, I am totally fine counting it. I understand there are people out there who think, you know, maybe this discredits the other wedges. Maybe it just cheapens the other wedges because this doesn't seem like a wedgie in and of itself. But I think it's still part of the play. In the 7 years, I look back, I tracked it. I thought to myself, has there ever been a wedgie that looked like this before? And I guess not, but it's still part of it. If there was a video review for wedgies, the referees would look back. It would probably take them 45 minutes to figure it out. But they would say, this is a wedgie. I think they would say that. I think this is quote unquote part of the play.
Okay, so Tass is counting it. Lili, let's go to you next. You have a problem counting it?
No, not at all. We don't want to get so carried away that we're on pace for a record season that we start turning down wedgies. We want to appreciate every single one. And this one, to me, is like Tass is saying, it's sort of the flow of the play. Now, if that's a foul called, then we would count it.
Yeah, of course. Yes, we absolutely would. Yeah.
So I don't see how a foul versus the goaltend really changes it. It's like it's still all part of that same motion. And it gets wedged in there. For me, it's a wedgie. I want them all. I want to appreciate it all. I'm not a wedgie snob. I'm like, oh, that's not
a No, you're only a snob when it comes to coffee and pizzas and stuff like that.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm greedy for wedgies. Give me that wedgie.
Just to clarify, like maybe someone's going, well, when would you ever turn down a wedgie? We've made it very clear that if a whistle is blown,
yes,
like on the ground, let's say, and then a guy just throws it up there and that ball gets wedged, that we don't count because it's like a complete dead play and it's like after the fact, it's after the whistle. So we don't count something like that. Trey, what about this one though?
Call me Edwin Collins because I've never seen a wedgie like that before. Call me Carlos Boozer because I'm counting it and one. No doubt this is a wedgie. I saw a baseball play this year. First home run of the season. Cody Bellinger cranks it out of the yard. But it was an out. So a player can have a made basket, a made field goal, as this one was called, and it's still a wedgie. You gotta lock this one in. We're not snobs here. We're counting everything. We say every wedgie is a snowflake. This is a true snowflake there. Yeah. We've never seen something like this.
All right, we're counting it. I love it. I know some people are maybe going to be upset, the wedgie purists out there, but we're counting it. It's good. So now with the Curry one, we'll go to wedgietracker.com. We are up to 43. The pace is back to 55. Everybody's happy. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. Seven to go. Yeah, that's right. Throw some barbecue on your pizza and everybody's happy. Okay, 43.
We're going to need some more before the playoffs, though. The record for the playoffs is 6, and that was a real high watermark.
Right.
So you got to expect only 2 in the playoffs.
Sure.
I think as a max. So we only have 3 weeks left in the regular season. I think we want another 5. These two were very, very key, and that's probably why we're also pushing to count this one. There's no doubt you got to count this one. I we're going to get to winners and losers of the weekend. I think we're all winners for the fact that we don't count ledgies. We're not geeks enough to count ledgies,
right?
You know, throughout the last few seasons we don't count pigeons, but yeah, ledgies, pigeons and wedgies, all a blast. But we would reach 50 if we counted pigeons. Like if we really wanted to
come
cheat
on. Yeah, that's yeah,
that's no, super cheating.
No, okay, so we're at 43. We all agree. Fantastic. I'm with Tess. We need a couple more before the playoffs start, but we got 3 weeks of action still, so we should get a couple more, you know, knock on wood. Let's get to weekend winners though, and then we'll do the losers in a second. Lee, why don't you get us started? Who's your big NBA weekend winner?
Kevin Durant had a pretty good Sunday. Came off the bench for the Nets, not until the second quarter, and then just strolled his way to 33 points, maybe the easiest 33 you'll ever see. Could have gotten 50 if he really wanted to, I think. It was just that easy for him. And for the Phoenix Suns, you know, one of the better teams this season, it just made no difference who was guarding him. It was like Scalabrine taking on those high school kids, you know, because Torrey Craig, a couple of times looking back at it, Torrey Craig was there, or Cam Johnson, and Durant just ignored them, basically. And they just kind of look around as if, like, what can we possibly do? And they even tried Chris Paul on him, who obviously Chris Paul, you know, gives up about a foot there, maybe even a little bit more to Kevin Durant. But, you know, he's a veteran. He's a tough defender. He's got that body. And you'd think maybe Kevin Durant would show a little bit more respect to his old buddy there, Chris Paul, but he didn't. He just drove right past him again as if he wasn't there. Just an incredible performance for a guy who hasn't played in over a week because he picked up that thigh injury against the Miami Heat. So I think it was last Sunday. So it was about a week, and it was honestly like Kevin Durant was like, I'll play, but I'm going to win an Oscar this afternoon, so I've got other things to do today. I can't spend too much time at this basketball game. Now, Brooklyn opened up a game and a half lead over the weekend in the Eastern Conference because Philly and Milwaukee lost last night. Philly's lost 4 in a row. But more important than that, I think if you are Philadelphia or Milwaukee, you know, as great as James Harden has been, as great as Kyrie Irving has been, with Kevin Durant on the court, I think there's an argument there if there's no Kevin Durant and only Harden and Kyrie Irving that maybe Philadelphia, maybe Milwaukee could beat them in a 7-game series. When Kevin Durant is on the court, there is no argument there. He is the Brooklyn Nets are winning the Eastern Conference, maybe even the championship if Kevin Durant stays healthy. But that's a big question because he has missed so much time this season. Can he basically stay on the court for the rest of the season. Because if he does, the Eastern Conference is a wrap. If he doesn't, then there's a chance there. But right. My God, this man, considering how much time he's missed in the last nearly 2 years now with the Achilles going back to the finals and then a lot of injuries and COVID this season, he just goes back out on the court as if it's like the easiest thing in the world to do for him.
Like riding cruises a bike. Along.
And look, I think Phoenix's plan was we're not going to send a double at him because the Nets have got a lot of shooters. And it's like, and Kevin Durant's kind of fine with that. If you do want to double him, he's like, I'm more than happy to pass. He's a willing passer and distributor. But if you don't, then he's just going to absolutely torch whoever is there. So not a lot of people can defend him anyway. The Suns certainly had no answer for him yesterday. Very impressive win for Kevin Durant and Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, and I keep coming back to this because, you know, we give all the love to KD because he keeps coming back and doing these things off the bench. He's like the 10th man on the Nets when he checks into this game. You know, same with Harden. Got a lot of our, you know, support early on. He was in the MVP race and blah, 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 blah. And I still think Kyrie's been consistently the best player on the Brooklyn Nets all season long. At this point, if he is not an All-NBA guard, it's stupid. I don't care if he did miss some games here or there, personal reasons, people want to hold that against him, whatever was going on. He is elite. He's All-NBA with a lock to me. Every time you just watch the games, you're like, oh yeah, you can't stop him. So yeah, good weekend from the Nets, Lele, you're not wrong. And not good for me and my $100 bet with Tass, if I'm being honest. I need the Nets to be the second or third seed, I think. Like, I can't have them having home court advantage throughout the entire East, like having that little extra advantage over these other teams. Yeah, Tassie, are you going to start buying something with that $100 already? Are you that confident?
I'm going to rent a karaoke room, and since it's COVID times, I'm just going to be there by myself. But whatever, it's worth the $100. It's probably pretty cheap right now. I can get like 10 hours for $100 right now.
Probably.
Just sing Edwin Collins songs over and over.
I've never seen a karaoke room like this before.
Can anyone name one other song by Edwin Collins, by the way?
Not a chance. I didn't even know that was the name of the guy that sang that song.
Straight Google right there.
Yeah.
He's not an Ed Wood, he's an Ed Wynn.
I'm like, Eric Collins sang that song? Cool. Hornets broadcaster? All right. So, yeah, no one's going to disagree with a pretty good weekend there from the Nets. I'll keep it moving here. My NBA weekend winner, going to the East 4-5 matchup, because both of those teams right now, identical records in the Knicks and the Hawks, good weekends. Okay. The Knicks only played one game this weekend, but they got the W. They extended their win streak to 9 straight, the New York Knicks. They ended up sort of hammering the Raptors there on a Saturday matinee game. Julius Randle, no answer. The Raptors decide, you know, sometimes it was great defenders like OG trying to play him one-on-one. Well, that wasn't working because he was hitting threes. They ran second bodies at him. It didn't matter. He was still hitting threes and just carving them up. He is unbelievable right now. Dan Devine had a great article on the Knicks. You know, he's a Knicks fan over on The Ringer. Couple things jumped out to me. He pointed out Randall's having the best individual Knicks season since Carmelo Anthony's prime, and that is 100% true. And then the other part, which is wild, is like he's writing as a fan again, Dan. For most of the past 20 years, all the Knicks fans have wanted was a team that just plays hard, right? With like a definable defensive identity, he wrote, and just doesn't give up easy shit. And it turns out that Tibbs was the right guy to bring in here to get that out of these guys. They're a funny little squad, but Nerlens Noel was awesome in the Raptors game. Tass, I don't know if you were watching this one as a Raps fan, but just denying guys like at the rim left and right, especially in like clutch situations too. He blocked Van Vliet on a layup, and then like the next Raptors possession slid over and blocked Pascal Siakam there, and that sort of like spurred a big Knicks run. He's been awesome. And then I also, my question for you guys, like I can't decide who's been more impressive for New York this season. Randle, he's on another level, but is it RJ Barrett or Derrick Rose? Because both of those guys, I mean, at different points in their career, Trey, have been phenomenal over this run. Derrick Rose just keeps coming in. He's like, you know, like guaranteed like 20 points, it feels like, and hit clutch shot after clutch shot at big times. And then RJ Barrett was like, he's looking like a future all-star and at least looks like an awesome second guy on this young Knicks team.
Well, shout out to the Knicks fans who wanted a team that plays hard and plays defense and were upset when Tom Thibodeau was signed as coach. Shout out to those guys, and also shout out to everybody writing off RJ Barrett. The guy played one season, and Knicks fans were ready to call it a thing. That's why his improvement this year is the big thing to me. Shooting 38% from three, he's already a solid driver, and that's going to open up being able to shoot from the perimeter just like Julius Randle is this season. Obviously, that was a point of emphasis for the Knicks over the summer or over the offseason last year, because Rose is doing what Rose has been doing since he came back into the league with Tom Thibodeau. You can put him on the court for 25 minutes a game. He's going to give you some buckets from the perimeter. But between Randle's improvements and Barrett's improvements, that's like the start of a nice looking nucleus there for the New York Knicks. Mike Borknoff had some incredible stats in his write-up on this Knicks team over on The Athletic. Randle, currently up to 24 a game, 10.5 rebounds, 6 assists. Four players in NBA history have reached those thresholds over a season. Larry Bird, when he won MVP. Wilt Chamberlain, two times, both MVP seasons. Russell Westbrook, an MVP year. Oscar Robertson, twice, both seasons, third in MVP voting. Slacking, I suppose. Couple more doing it this season. Nikola Jokic, he's going to win the MVP. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's a two-time MVP. Literally MVP numbers from Julius Randle, plus second All-Star numbers from RJ Barrett for a team that looked like they were going to be fighting to be in the play-in tournament coming into the season. If they, like, that would have been a successful season, it felt like, for the Knicks. Really, really, really great to see them on pace for a 36-game winning streak here to end the season, right? If they finish the season, they'll be at 20, then 16 wins in the playoffs. That's 36. Wow. That's a championship and the all-time record for wins in a row. So pretty good stuff from New York.
Well, here's the crazy part. They may not even get out of the first round because the Hawks are just as hot, man. Yeah, they don't have a 9-game win streak going, but let's slip them in here. They had two really impressive wins this weekend. On Friday night, Bogdanovich scored 21 points. Collins chipped in 20. And they were without Trae Young and Clint Capella to beat the Heat, 118-103. Really, really nice win. Nate McMillan apparently writing the word believe on the chalkboard before the game. Oh, man. I love when stuff like that starts leaking out. It just helps the Nate McMillan crazy coach of the year case there. But then on Sunday, Lee, I'll go to you with this one. Awesome Hawks win down at the Fortress where it looked like the Bucks were going to run away with it. They're playing Milwaukee, who obviously is chasing the Nets for the number one seed there. Like, I assume they would like that. But it was Bogdanovich again, 32 points, awesome. And then Sweet Lou Williams, oh my God, just took over down the stretch. He hit 4 3-pointers in the final 7 minutes as they ran away and pulled out like this pretty impressive win, again without Trae Young. Capella was back, but this is awesome for the Hawks here. And one of these teams, if they stay locked 4-5, are going to lose in the first round, and they're going to be pissed off with it because they've been playing phenomenal basketball here, especially down the stretch in the Knicks in Atlanta.
Yeah, that Bucks defense in the fourth quarter was not very good because it was Bogdanovich and Lou Will hit, I think, 6 combined at one point in a row. Bob Rathburn was going crazy on the broadcast because it was just, we saw the Knicks, we saw the Hawks do this against the Pelicans earlier in the season when they hit 11 in a row, and it was similar yesterday where the game was there to be won and they just kept hitting threes, and then the Bucks called a timeout, and then out of the timeout Bogdanovich was left wide open and he hit another three. So Coach Bud must have been tearing his hair out, because when I saw this game earlier, I was following the score and I saw the Bucks up big and I thought, okay, yeah, they're going to win this game comfortably. Then I saw the final score and I thought, I wonder if Giannis and maybe Middleton sat the second half, but they didn't. They played. They were trying to win this game. They got outplayed clearly by the Atlanta Hawks. So this was not like the Bucks just sort of decided, well, we don't need this game. They were trying to win. They just played badly. And again, combined with the way that Brooklyn played this weekend and Philadelphia losing, the Bucks really could have made up some ground. And this one could be one of those ones that comes back to haunt them. This could be a game like this could swing home court advantage in that second round potentially against Philadelphia. So pretty bad loss there. But for the Hawks, you know, with Trae Young out, we thought Bogdanovich is going to have to step up, and he has done. He's been very, very good, and Lou Will giving them that extra pop off the bench offensively, because he was kind of just a pickup for that Rondo deal. You know, Rondo may be a better distributor, but Lou Williams a much better shooter and scorer, and he's providing that for them now. So this is exciting times here for Atlanta to you know, stay in that race without Trae Young, who may still be out for another couple of games here, which is pretty important for them.
The extra gut punch to the Bucks too is that it's Bogdanovich doing this to the Tass, who's having like an unbelievable month. In 14 games, Bogdanovich is averaging 22.3 points per game, and he's shooting. His splits are 50 from the field, 50 from three, and 85 at the line. And the Hawks are 11-3 in these 14 games in April. But I say that Milwaukee, that gut punch is like they had this guy, or it looked like they did, of course, in the offseason, and he ends up signing in Atlanta here. But what did you take from that game?
Just a shocker that they didn't guard Bogey. Bogey is a fun word to say, and it's Bogdan Bogdanovich's nickname, and everybody knows he's been hot, and he's just standing there able to fire away open threes. I mean, that's sort of the Bucks' Achilles heel at times. They just don't guard the three-point shot. And for him and Lou Williams to just go off in the fourth quarter, real disappointing for the Bucks, because they could have controlled their own destiny if they won this game. They still would have only been a couple away from the number one seed in Nets, who they have at home two more times. But seemingly that dream is done, and they're not going to get home court advantage. And that's what they sort of talked about going into the bubble last year as the number one seed. Oh, we kind of lost home court advantage. Well, they could have had it if they played down the stretch. But yeah, the Brooklyn Nets, despite everybody that's been out this season, every guy has taken a turn, whether it's COVID protocol, whether it's personal reasons for Kyrie Irving, whether it's injuries for Kevin Durant, whether it's being overweight like James Harden, and then he got injured. But I think all that stuff is just shows you that the Nets are the dominant team. And yeah, the Bucks needed an advantage, and it stinks for them. It just seems like that dream is long gone. It's bogeying out of the playoff picture. There's no chance. There's no chance they do it now. But yeah, that was disappointing watching, because it was also a flashback to their defense of the last few years. Oh, let's just stop everyone in the lane, let the three-point shooters let it fly. And they were doing that, but then they just let those Lou Williams didn't hit a shot going into the fourth quarter. Then bang, 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 and then even the lane opened up because they said, "Oh, we'll get to the 3-point shooters." Then Lou will kill them. So yeah, tough loss for the Bucks, but I don't feel sorry for them. They had it in their hands.
Hey, with Bogdanovich there, you said people call him Bogey, right? Why doesn't Basketball Reference have that?
Yeah, it's a good question.
It's so weird. Like Bojan Bogdanovich has Bogey as the old little Basketball Reference nickname, but Bogdanovich doesn't. It's weird. I'm just fascinated by that.
Like, maybe two guys can't have the same
nickname.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I'm throwing it out there. But you definitely hear them called that. You hear them both called that. Okay. We'll look into that. Trey, who's your NBA weekend winner?
We'll look into that. We'll talk to the Basketball Reference guys, see what they have to say. It's a great question. I got a feeling there's a Melo on both Carmelo Anthony and LaMelo. Oh, so you know they can do it. Anyways.
I'll check while you talk.
All right, get in touch with them. Send them a quick email, maybe write them a letter. Been writing a lot of letters lately. Get in touch. Anyways. Winner of the weekend, showing off the big old basketball brain, Luka Doncic. Beat the Lakers for a second straight time on Saturday. And if you were Charles Dickens, you would say this was a tale of two halves. The Lakers were doubling the donk hard in the first half. Results were not great. 10 points on 4 of 9 shooting, 3 turnovers, and 0 assists for Doncic. He had some really ugly turnovers as well. Like, we give him a lot of props when he throws a pass over his head to somebody who's wide open. It's usually Maxi Kleba. He usually misses the shot, but it's a cool pass. Luka tried this one as well, and it was just a pick six the other way very easily. It doesn't look very impressive when you throw it over your head and it's the Lakers fighting over who's going to get it. All in all, 10 points on 12 possessions. ESPN's Tim McMahon had the stat for when the Lakers doubled Doncic in the first half. 4 turnovers, the Lakers lead by 12. But in the second half, Luka and Rick Carlisle really cracked the case because the doubles kept coming and Doncic just shredded the Lakers. They would have a shooter kind of run up to the top. Sometimes the shooter was wide open. Sometimes they would send another roll man down or somebody from the dunker spot. There was just a lot more going on with the pick and roll. So Luka, 8 points in the second half, 2 of 6 shooting. He hit a massive 3 with 2 minutes left to ice the game. But he also had 10 assists. A lot of them were coming to Dwight Powell. He had 21 in the second half. So many dunks. Mavs scored 20 points on 10 possessions. Where the double team came, and I loved the post-game quotes. Rick Carlisle said, "I never mind seeing trapping defenses on him because Luka's so great at delivering the ball, and a lot of times he delivers it for a layup or a dunk." Yeah, ask Dwight Powell. He's exactly right, and I love the quote. "Double our star, we're getting a dunk," but Doncic's quote was even better. "They were double-teaming me. In Europe, I used to do this a lot. I know how it goes, but here the floor is wider, so it's kind of easy." The Lakers have the best defense in the league, and Luka Doncic just compared it to the defenses he saw when he was 16 years old. Called it kind of easy.
Ooh.
That's amazing stuff. I love it. A huge win for the Mavs. Currently out of the play-in tournament on the strength of Luka just being a genius, really.
Yeah, they're a game and a half up now on the Blazers. We'll get to Portland when we get to losers of the weekend. They're on the losing streak right now. But yep, good stuff there from the Mavericks. And yeah, you want Luka, you want your best players playing their best ball at the right time here as we get closer and closer to these playoffs. Tass, you were getting hyped there on What You Need to Know Day. What you need to know this morning about the play and talent that we're going to have, like Curry and Lillard and, well, another guy, Westbrook. Let's get to your winner of the weekend because yeah, we got some big names in these play-in games.
Yeah, for sure. It seems like the Wizards are kicking out a couple of our teams from the Eastern Conference yep. play-in tournament picture. See ya Bulls, see ya Raptors. It's ours because the 10th place Wizards have won 8 in a row. It's freaking nuts. If you go back to the beginning of the season when the Rockets traded Russell Westbrook for John Wall, we all thought, yeah, the Wizards won this trade. Westbrook's going to be good for a year at least with all that athleticism in that body. Just came off an all-star campaign. And just like last year, when he did make the all-star team, he started off this year slowly, but then he picked it up just like this year. I mean, he has picked it up just a little bit later this year, but he has been balling. These 8 straight wins, if you look at his stats, you can even extend it a little bit further to 11 games, 21 points per game on 47% from the floor, a somewhat respectable 34% from three and 67% from the line. I know that's not respectable either, but they're jump ups from his overall percentages. And I think it's just him and the best players on the Wizards just playing good ball. Beal's at 30 points per game on ridiculous percentages. Davis Bertans is shooting 46 from three on 8.5 threes over that stretch. And they're stopping people. The Wizards are stopping people. It's unbelievable that over this few weeks stretch here, they've got the 5th best defense. This is the Wizards. We all laugh. Oh, they're the 29th best defense. I mean, that's kind of the number that you throw out there with the Wizards. But they have been playing well, and they did win that trade for John Wall when it didn't look that way at the beginning of the season. But 8 in a row, it's the first time they've done that in 20 years since Michael Jordan was playing for the Washington Wizards. And I went back. And I looked at who Michael Jordan was playing with during that stretch with the Washington Wizards. Wow. Can you name the starting lineup, the other 4 guys playing with Michael Jordan during that stretch? Wizards?
Larry Hughes?
No, Larry Hughes, I guess he was coming off the bench. I didn't
Rip Hamilton?
Rip started, and then he went to the bench. He kind of shared a spot with another guy. But, yeah, I'll include Rip Hamilton. There's 4 other guys.
Kwame? Chris Whitney?
Chris Whitney, good job.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember him from Whitney fantasy. Paul. I had him on my fantasy team.
Yeah, he was a young guard. He had promised that guy. But three more.
Jahidi White?
Yeah.
What a call.
Not nice. Jahleel White, but Jahidi White. And then another big and another guy who shared.
I said Kwame.
No.
I guess there. They drafted Kwame and but he was there. Another big, very notorious guy. He's an assistant coach now for a long time.
Darvin Ham?
No.
Popeye Jones?
Oh. Popeye!
Yeah.
And another guy who shared the shooting guard role with Rip Hamilton, who's been in the NCAA news recently.
Jerry Stackhouse?
Hubert? Hubert.
Hubert Davis.
Hubert Davis.
Nice hint.
Wow, yeah, what a team.
So, yeah, it is pretty well. But, yeah, they're up to 8 in a row. They got the Spurs tonight, then they got the Lakers. And hopefully Bradley Beal will play. He went down at the end of this game. He thought that he injured his Achilles at first because he thought somebody kicked him in the leg, and it looked bad. It looked very bad. But they ruled that out post-game, so he was walking around. So hopefully he'll be back soon. I don't know if it's for the Spurs game or for the Lakers game, but it sure seems like he'll be back. So, yeah, we'll get some Russell Westbrook action in the play-in tournament. Sure feels like that's happening.
Yeah, and if you're keeping an eye on the scoring race, too, it's still super tight because Beal, of course, putting up good numbers, but Curry's doing Curry things. Curry has it right now as of Monday morning here, 31.3 points per game. Bradley Beal at 31.1. So very, very close. Curry has scored more points total, having played, I think, a few more games. But it's tight there, Lee. Beal could still get it. Your guy. That would mean a lot to you, I feel like.
Well, considering where this season was going, it was like he was going to average 35 a game there for a long while and, on a team that didn't even make the play-in tournament. But, it's going to be interesting because just the other day, David Robinson, it was the anniversary of the game where he had 71 on the last day of the season to steal the scoring title. So I wonder if
We get some shenanigans, you're saying?
Yeah. I wonder if if that happens. If it comes down to the last game and, say, Beal needs 56 or something like that, do the Wizards just say, all right, go for it, man. Go and get it, you know. He might. Why not? You know, why not?
Well, they might even, like, in both of their cases, they could actually need a game like that, too, like a 50 or 60 plus, because the Warriors and the Wizards, like, in the final game of the season, could be still playing their way into a play-in tournament.
Yes.
I know Wizards right now are are feeling pretty good with the Bulls and the Raptors losing. They're, what, a couple of games up now, at least in the win column.
Two games up, I think, on
those two teams. Yeah. You know, the Warriors, I feel like they keep, like, flip-flopping with the Spurs in terms of, like, who's going to be hosting that 9-10 game. But, yeah, maybe we'll get some Robinson-like numbers there.
Can't wait to tell that story to my kids 20 years from now. Man, you should have seen this duel between Steph Curry and Bradley Beal. Curry went for 69 on the last night to win the scoring title, and they made the play-in tournament. No. Oh, my goodness. Crazy.
All right, let's get some more mini winners here. Tass, you got another one for us?
Yeah, I just got to drop a quick one here. Jordan Clarkson of the Utah Jazz should be sixth man of the year this weekend. I was surprised to see that he missed multiple free throws in a game for the first time this season.
Wow.
Jordan Clarkson? I just thought, you know, he scores a lot. He should get to the line a lot. He should probably miss a few free throws. So I looked at his free throw percentage. Shocked to see that he's shooting 92% on the season. That's incredible. Now, he doesn't get to the line a ton, and that's probably why he hasn't missed multiple free throws. He's a, hey, give me the freaking ball. I ain't going in that lane type of scorer, and he gets it done. But just the growth, shocked to see from you know, where he was. He was a good free throw shooter, but to get to 92%, I guess he just found the mental game late in his 20s. I mean, this is year 7 for him. Good for him. I just want to throw out a nice little stat there. I just was shocked. Lee, that's pretty freaking impressive. Am I right?
It is very impressive. In fact, I wonder if Kurt Goldsberry is going to do anything on it, because it feels like there's a lot of guys this season shooting, you know, 90 to 93%. I know Emmanuel Quickley, like, he had, like, I think the highest percentage ever for a rookie for his first 100 free throws.
I think he's dropped
down to about 88% right now. But I know there were like four or five guys shooting like 93-94% from the free throw line. So I wonder if that's, you know, no crowd there. I wonder if that we
like that seems
of...
rare, right?
Yeah,
it seems, sounds like you're saying thundersticks really work.
Oh.
or maybe because the games are coming, Emmanuel Quickley. Maybe you stay in a rhythm, stay in a flow, game to game.
Here's another stat for you too. Another little mini winner. Steph Curry set an NBA record for threes in a calendar month. 85 he's at. The month's not over. Uh-uh. It's like, we got like 4 days, 5 days left in April here. And I think the Warriors play like another two games at least. So, you know, could he leave? I mean, it's Curry. He could get to 100 in a month, which would be pretty damn awesome. Yeah, he only needs 15, which sounds so stupid to say. I think they have two games. Yeah. But yeah, he's usually.
It would also be the NBA record, right? Why doesn't he just go for 15 in a game?
Oh, yeah, sure. Wow. Oh, my God. You also slipped it in here, Lee. I think we just should make note of it and give love to the other guy, the other executive producer, Kevin Durant and Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Serving as executive producers for Two Distant Strangers, which won the Oscar for a live action short film. So congrats to those guys. That's a winner of the weekend when you get the hardware like that, TK. That's impressive. Joining, I guess, Kobe now as NBA Oscar winners. We've got three of them. That'll be a fun trivia question 20 years from now. Can you name all the NBA players that have Oscars?
That's good.
That's a really, really good one. There'll be more coming, I'm sure, in the future, too.
Who's going to be the first to get one as an actor? That is the question.
LeBron in Space Jam 2.
Okay. He'll be the lead actor or supporting actor to Bugs.
Oh,
we'll
that's
see.
A good point. We'll have to watch the movie. That's true. Maybe a supporting role. And Trey, you got one more important winner of the weekend for us.
Oh, hugely important. If we're talking stats, Skeets, you know there's nothing I'm tracking harder than rebounding. Did have a big beef over the weekend. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Mason Plumlee had 21 rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef.
I can feel it down in my
beef.
Getting ready to take him to the farmer's market.
No dunks. We love roast beef, which is rebounds.
Oh my goodness, the Plum Dog Millionaire.
That's right. First big beef of his career against the Pacers again. The Pacers are getting beefed up left and right here. Mason Plumlee also had the first triple-double of his career earlier this season. He had another one a month later. I'm not going to lie to you. not going to be tapping into a lot of Pistons games here, but I'm on Plumlee Beef Watch. This man coming with the beef. So, yeah, if he's able to duplicate a triple-double to a second triple-double, I think he can go beef once, beef twice. We just had the Isaiah Stewart beef stew. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing there's a lot of missed shots there in Detroit. These guys are grabbing the boards. And anytime a Plumlee does something in the NBA that's notable, I can't stop thinking about that outtakes clip from Eastbound and Down. I can feel it. I can feel it down in my plums.
I forgot the farmer's market line.
There's another great line that I was hoping for, like a late night beef, a late Sunday beef, so that we could get two we could get two beefs in the same clip, because Will Ferrell continues on. Take him to the farmer's market. Special two beefs for one.
Oh, wow.
I had it chambered. I had it chambered, but nobody came through. I guess we'll just have to save it for the next time we get a Plumlee beef and somebody else beefing as well.
Okay. I guess Capella just came back from injury. I know he got up to his classic, like, 14
Yeah. 6 points, 14 boards. Slapping it. Love it.
All right.
More beefs, the better.
Excellent. Congrats to the Plum Dog Millionaire there on his first beef.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's get to NBA weekend losers. We teased it. Lele, take it away. Portland Trailblazers, man, not doing well.
The disaster. They lost two games, both at home and both to the Memphis Grizzlies. They've dropped five in a row and are just playing badly at the wrong time because there's no major injuries there. Lillard, McCollum, and Nurk are all playing. Now, Lillard, he clearly doesn't have his usual juice right now. I'm not going to make an excuse for him because he doesn't, but he missed a couple of games there with a hamstring. And in the last sort of 5 to 10 that he's played, he's really struggling to shoot the ball. So I wonder if that workload from earlier in the season when McCollum and Nurk were out, maybe catching up with him a little bit because he just doesn't seem to have that same, you know, the same sort of stepping up to his game as we expect from him. And the shot, with the shot not falling like that, that to me tells you that his legs aren't quite there. So they lose two in a row at home to Memphis, as I mentioned. Ja Morant was just highlight after highlight yet again.
I was going to say, we could have made the Grizzlies a winner of the weekend, but we flipped it here and went the Blazers. Yeah.
You know, he is just so incredibly fun to watch. But now for the Blazers, they head out on a 6-game road trip and they play Memphis again on Wednesday night. They also go to Brooklyn, Boston, and Atlanta. They are safe for the play-in tournament because they're 6 games up on the Pelicans, but home court advantage and potentially only having to play that one game. If I've got that right, you only can potentially play one game in that play-in tournament if you win it, if you're the 7th seed.
That's right.
Correct? That now looks a lot less likely because I think they're going to be more hovering around that second play-in game.
So you think the Spurs or the Warriors end up jumping them here?
Again, the way they're playing, a road trip, I wonder if Lillard even plays in every game here right now. And, you know, Memphis seem to be the opposite direction. The team they're really battling with for that play-in tournament position seems to be cruising along. So Valanciunas is back. He looked great again. Tough for the Blazers from here. But... you know, they'll get in. And as we saw last season, remember, they played that very first play-in tournament against the Grizzlies and they beat the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies had some injuries. But so we know Lillard can step up when it comes to sort of season on the line stuff. But he needs to, maybe he just needs to take a couple more games off to rest. Maybe. I don't know. But they keep losing. And this was a very costly weekend for them.
Yeah. Taz, how concerned are you about the Blazers here and this slide?
Yeah, it's a tough decision to make for the Blazers because Dame is not right. He doesn't look anything like... he did the first 50 games of the season. He went out with a hamstring injury. He's off. But you also want to be playing well going into the final stretch. But I think the right thing would be to sit him because it doesn't seem like they can fall out of the playoff picture entirely, mm-hmm. but it also doesn't seem like they're going to catch the sixth seed. So it might just be best to sit him. Either way, yeah, they're going to be in the play-in tournament now. They need a couple teams to jump them for the seventh seed for them to have to play in that 9-10 game, which makes them have to win two games to get in. But you're not going to win any games if Dame's playing like this. So, yeah, I think the workload has caught up to him. He got injured, and he's not right. And maybe it's just a better tack to just let these other guys go for these last dozen games when they have a tough schedule and try and pick up their game and start to play a little bit of defense, because we make fun of the Wizards and how deep they are in the defensive rankings. Well, the Blazers are the second worst team to the Sacramento Kings defensively when they tried to solve that this year. So I think it would probably be best for them to try and figure it out aside from Dame this last, you know, dozen games or so.
Yeah, it hasn't helped, you know, not yesterday's game. I think the Grizzlies sort of like manhandled them, but the first game between the two teams and then a bunch of those games before, the Blazers just keep losing in brutal fashion, Trey. And we talked about it last week, you know, shots from Norman Powell, you know, he gets a floater to drop, maybe they win. If he hits a three in the game previously, maybe they win. And then on that, I guess it was the Friday night game, they played the first one here over the weekend. I mean, Nurk had like a layup, like under the rim, and like just botched it. And, you know, Grizzlies pulled it out. These are just brutal, brutal losses. Like, even if they had won half of these close games, then maybe we're not freaking out here, but they just keep racking up the losses. And as Lee pointed out, they got this huge road trip. Are you concerned?
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned because of that 29th ranked defense. And you're saying it feels like if the Blazers would have won half these games, we'd be doing all right. The problem is that they kind of did win half of those games. They just did it earlier in the season when it was Lillard time every single night. The guy's hitting game winner after game winner and every single clutch shot. That just isn't going to continue for the entirety of the season. And as we're seeing with the Blazers, at this point, it's like they've got to play close. They've got to keep it as close as they possibly can. And then you got to hope Lillard is pulling some magic out of his pocket, which he's certainly able to do. And part of the reason why they're a scary team to face in a playoff series, because you know Lillard can go for 50 and hit the game winner when he needs to. But when you're losing these games and a two-point loss looks good because it's not a one-point loss, it's tough. You know, you're relying on one guy basically to make it happen. Sure, Nurkic had a chance, but you still know that Lillard is going to be the guy. That's a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He's obviously good enough to do it, but there's no way that over the course of a season you make every single clutch shot, even though sometimes it feels like he's gonna. So, yeah, I mean, the Blazers, I'm seeing in the stream team, it's trade CJ McCollum, fire Steri Tott. Terry Stotts, trade Nurkic. Dame needs to leave Portland. Clearly something is not perfect for the Blazers right now. It ain't going to be Lillard leaving Portland, but there are going to be some changes in the offseason.
Yeah, I saw Ghostface Ziller write today. It feels like this iteration of the Blazers has been hanging on by a thread, and the thread is beginning to fray. And yeah, we've made the comparison millions of times, this Blazers team with the backcourt of Lillard and CJ to the former Raptors there, where it was DeRozan and Lowry, and it's like, good team, solid team, generally a playoff team, maybe win around here or there, maybe even go to a final, Western Finals in the case of the Blazers, and East Finals that the Raptors did way back when. But is it ever enough? And do you move one of them? In this case, it would be McCollum, like the Raptors moved DeRozan. It's just like, sure, but I don't know. Masai Ujiri and the Raps, like, struck gold finding Kawhi Leonard, right? With what was going on in San Antonio to make that move happen. And I'm not sure that's there's a similar sort of vibe there in moving CJ McCollum. In practice, yeah, maybe. But yeah, Terry Stotts, league, I think if they don't make it into the playoffs, like, you know, they lose in this play-in tournament situation, is it fair to assume Terry Stotts would be gone at the least? They'd have to shake up something, right?
Yeah. Because again, I think obviously Lillard won't be traded. Then it comes down to whether or not you want to trade CJ McCollum. But I think that is the second option after just let's get a new voice in there. Stotts has been there, I don't even know how long it feels like he's been there for a long time. Seven or 8 years. And it's kind of like at this point, you're just kind of treading water with him. So I think a new voice is needed. But that will be the big question, though, is do they try to move on from CJ McCollum? Because Nurkic, he could get them some value, but CJ is clearly the most valuable trade asset that they'd be prepared to move on from, I think. So that's going to be the big question for them going forward. They've made some moves on the periphery. You know, getting Robert Covington, I think, was a good signing for them, but just doesn't quite move the needle enough, particularly in that Western Conference for them.
Sam Hunter says, CJ trade talk is the coldest NBA take in the last 5 years, and so far it's always been wrong.
He's right.
You're not yeah. wrong there, Sam, but at some point, you know, you've got to shake it up, so whatever that means. Yeah, is it the coach? Is it one of their star players? We'll see. And maybe they turn it around here, and you're right, like you guys have said, you still have Damian Lillard in in theory, like a one game gets in type of thing. You're going to like your chances if he's out there and is close to 100%. All right,
also, a funny stat here, Ski. It's got to get up to Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's game on Sunday. Clutch Points on Twitter mentioned that he notched the rare 5-by-1.
Yeah.
1 point, one rebound, one assist, one steal, one block in just 5 minutes. This has actually happened fewer times, 13, than 5-by-5 games in NBA history, 20. Probably because it's very hard to score exactly one,
one point.
Yeah. That's the thing. But if you happen to be watching this one, you saw some NBA history right there. The 13th ever 1-by-1-by-1-by-1-by-1 game. Nice.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that stat. And then I watched the condensed version of this game where they show you the free throws. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson went to the line, buried the first one. I thought, there's no way he can miss the second. It was so pure. So pure. And then just missed. I mean, he looks cool with the blonde hair that he's got going on. He's bleached it a blit, but man, one free throw out of two. Just one.
Trey, who do you have for a loser of the weekend?
One of the shortest losers in No Dunks history. 8 seconds of game time here. But Denzel Valentine taking home a loser of the weekend for an all-time brutal heat check. Here's Bulls broadcasters Adam Amin and Stacey King.
Missed it badly there. Less than a minute to go.
No.
Oh my goodness, Valentine!
No.
Oh no.
No! No!
That is not the shot
no.
at that moment.
That's a horrible shot. No. Wow. I mean.
Oh my God! No.
Man. I mean, he's by the hash. That's Steph Curry range right there. Come on.
Not in a two possession game when you've worked this hard to get back in it. You can get a better shot.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. No. That's not the shot we want. What are you doing? Went down in the play-by-play as a missed pull-up jumper from 31 feet. Great shot by Denzel Washington. Afterwards, Denzel Washington, come on. This guy, I'm going crazy.
You guys are all over these names today.
Man. Name, shmame, Starry Tots, Denzel Washington. Oh, that guy had me feeling like it was training day out there with that kind of shot. Huh? Anyways, after the game, Denzel Valentine said, I made three in a row before that. That's a good point. He was actually helping the Bulls come back here. But he continued, it was a bad shot. Just kind of got lost in the game. I would agree. I also liked what Kendall Gill said in postgame. What the hell was Denzel doing? No one knows. Not even Denzel Valentine. Just a brutal heat check. Like, I mean, a brutal heat check. Almost the same shot that Kevin Durant hit against the Cavs in the 2017 finals. What a comparison. I mean, Lee compared Kevin Durant to Brian Scalabrine earlier, so I feel like this is kind of fair, actually. But, I mean, I don't know if terrible heat checks are a memorable thing, but this is something that I will never forget about Denzel Valentine.
Yeah.
Adam Amin was trying to be kind of more diplomatic, you know, like, oh, that's not the shot you want at this point. But Stacey King was just like, no, what are you doing? But yeah, that was, I mean, not even close either, you know, just like,
not even close.
But the problem was, it was like 50 seconds to go as well, and there was like 20 seconds on the shot clock. Like, come on, man, what are you doing shooting that one for? But,
well, that's a nominee task for worst of the week, you think? That might
it's
get a nod.
It's leading. Yeah. I say it's leading right now.
Yeah, that's up there. All right, we'll finish it off here with my loser of the weekend. Now, look, I'm calling it a loser of the weekend, but maybe you guys will disagree. I'm talking about you guys here, everybody in the stream team. Have you seen this news that ESPN is going to debut a Marvel-inspired NBA telecast for the Warriors-Pelicans game? Now, let me give you some details about this, and then, you know, you can tell me whether you agree with me that this could be a really bad idea, or maybe you like it. So the plan is to weave elements from an original Marvel story and then characters including Iron Man, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Captain America, Black Widow, and Doctor Strange into live action. So the broadcast is going to use 3D virtual characters, animation packages and then customized graphics to tell the tale of the Avengers watching this game, Warriors Pelicans, in hopes of finding new heroes to help them fight an invading alien army. I guess during the game, Iron Man and Black Panther, they're going to unveil a plan to expand the ranks of the Avengers. They're the captains. I guess they led the All-Star votes, those two. So the Marvel characters will observe three players from each team during the game. And they are going to award the Marvel Hero Points based on their achievement and performance in the game. So they're going to be studying, it says, Curry, Draymond, and Andrew Wiggins from the Warriors, and then Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball from the Pelicans. And the player on the winning team who scores the most Marvel Hero Points will be crowned Marvel's first champion following the game. So every point, rebound, assist, steal, or block gets you a Marvel Hero Point. And then any missed field goal, free throw, or turnover means a hero point gets deducted. Okay? This is what's going to be going on during this game. Now, the game itself is on ESPN. This is like a secondary, like ESPN2 sort of broadcast. We saw the NFL do something similar with the SpongeBob game. You know, they had the slime in the end zones. People got a kick out of that. So I guess ESPN is leaning into that idea of it all. Sounds crazy. But Tass, are you intrigued? Will you be watching at the very least? Or does this sound stupid to you?
Hey. They're trying something.
Okay.
And I have to applaud that. Now, when you release it in a press release and you went through all the details there, you did it well, Skeets. But number one, everyone rips on everything, period.
Before
no matter what
happens. Like,
Yes, exactly. So if you put it in a press release, people are going to rip on it. That's just the nature of how it works. Now, if it just happened, maybe we would have accepted it. I think we got to wait until we see the execution. I think everyone's trying these integrations.
Like, yeah.
Maybe not to this extent, but you see the ad. You see they throw in a 15-second ad where Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy appear in a Marvel sort of tease type thing. I've never seen that one. But, you know, you get what I'm saying. They try these integrations.
Oh, yeah.
I'm willing to try it. I'm willing to try it. And I don't know. The SpongeBob one, I did not see it whatsoever, but it sounds okay. Now, if they don't go – this might seem like it's going a little too far. Like SpongeBob slime in the end zone, cool. But now we're counting points. Like, that's but I don't know. I mean, if you're a Marvel geek, maybe you're going to geek out.
Yeah. Well, Trey, what do you think? You've been watching all these Marvel movies as of late. Are you into this idea?
I'm not against this idea. The fantasy aspect of it is very weird to me. Like, what if Wiggins goes out there and has a dominant game, has the best game of his career, and suddenly this guy ends up as Stephen Strange? I don't know how that's exactly going to work.
He's the Marvel champion.
Yeah, he's the Marvel champion. Sure, whatever that is. I also don't love that they are basically using the plot from the first Space Jam for this. Right? Aliens are coming here. We need to recruit some additional heroes to help knock off the aliens. But I also don't mind it. I watched a little of the Nickelodeon game. It was cool when the slime went off in the end zone. That was really cool. It was cool when they kicked a ball into SpongeBob's face behind the field goal post. I liked that as well. But ultimately, if it makes more kids want to watch the NBA, I think that's awesome.
Okay. Lee, weigh in on this. What do you think?
I'm probably not the target audience
for
something like this. But try it. Sure, why not? Why not? See how it goes. Because that's right. If it does get kids to at least take more of an interest in the game and the league, then it's a win, you know, and that's maybe the way to do
it. This isn't for kids. This is for JD. They're doing this for JD. Watch the Warriors play the Pelicans. JD, do you want to chime in on this idea? What do you think?
You're exactly right. This is for me, and it's total cringe to me. I don't even the Nickelodeon. Does Nickelodeon still do slime? Is that a thing that Nickelodeon does in 2021?
No clue.
I don't think so. I haven't watched it ever in my life,
But for sure,
slime.
Yeah, at a Kids' Choice Award or something like that. Yeah. It's an honor to be slimed.
I guess. But I think it's more for adults who go, oh, yeah, I remember slime. You know what I mean? Kids don't watch Nickelodeon or any of the other kids' channels. You know what I mean? Like, my kids watch Netflix and YouTube and stuff like that. Like,
okay.
So
your kids are old.
I mean, The Winter Soldier is like there's swearing and there's all this stuff in it. It's not for kids. So when you were describing the storyline and all that, I was just there's no way they're going to pull this off without me wanting to rip my hair out. You know, So
okay. So but you're gonna tune in to see what it's all about, right?
I guess.
We almost need to give that to you as homework, I think. Okay. You should have to report back on the Warriors Pelicans.
Great. When is it again?
I don't know. Actually,
see, there you go, JD.
I don't know. I'm not sure of the date. We'll figure it out.
Integrations are hard.
It's going to be May over 3rd. The weekend.
Oh, well, it's coming up this soon. I didn't realize it was that quick. Okay.
Okay.
Not everyone can be No Dunks integrating sponsors perfectly.
Yes. That's hard. Flawlessly with our Manscaped ads. They're trying to get creative here. Yeah, the points part is weird, but I just hope they go. If you're going to commit to something like this, like if Andrew Wiggins has a monster game on May 3rd and he wins all the Marvel points, I better fucking see like the Iron Man himself hand him a trophy and say, and like give him a suit and give him a helmet or something. Like, you're a part of the
Avengers. Well, Skeets, no spoilers, but I got bad news for you about Iron Man.
Well, yes. Well, also, I have a question, no spoilers, but which Captain America are we getting here? I got a lot of questions. So, but yeah, they better like really give, okay, not even give him a trophy, but I need Cassidy Hubbarth or somebody asking Andrew Wiggins after the game, like, what do you bring to the Avengers, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
We better go that far with it at the very least. But I'll be watching anyway. And then we'll have we're going to talk about it on the, I guess that'll be a Monday show, right?
Yeah. It'll be either a winner or a loser.
Did a superhero just run through the background right. of JD's screen? Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah. Okay, there. Is that Captain
Marvel?
Was
that Quicksilver back there?
I bet that. I think that was probably our realtor calling.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hear from everybody in the stream team. Are you excited about this or not?
I will say whichever team ends up getting Doctor Strange on their team, they're never going to lose. Yeah. Because if they're down at the end of regulation, endless looped time. Yeah. Right back. Yeah. That's the most desirable character.
That's a good point. That's a great point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, okay.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
All right, Tweet of the Night. Very simple, guys. From at Baran Mitin. Says, smile. You are on the evening news in the Netherlands.
Wow.
Letting us know that No Dunks, yes, in the Netherlands, right there as part of that Apple keynote last week, which we talked about. I think we also had his tweet of the night. But cool, yeah, nice zoom, nice enhanced there. There we are with The Athletic, with the football show. I guess this was a big deal, Lili. I don't know. We're big in the Netherlands now.
Yeah, great. Let's go on the road. Let's go on the road and do a show in Amsterdam.
Okay,
was this tweeted in by your high school teammate Rick Smits?
No, it wasn't. You mean Daryl Smits? Yes, no. But you're right, Lee. We're going now. The World Tour we've locked in at least three spots, right? It's probably Melbourne. I know you want to do a couple spots in Australia, but we're at least going to Australia. We know we're going to Manila. We're going to the Philippines.
Yes.
So we're doing that. And now we got to make a little stopover in Amsterdam because we're big on the evening news.
Okay. Why not, man? Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Did they switch up the screenshot there? Because I thought Code Switch was in the middle in the first place.
Interesting. You're right. It definitely was.
Possibly.
They switched it up. Yeah. Where did Midnight Miracle come from?
I don't know. Happy to see it, though.
Me too.
With us. Well, maybe maybe we'll open for them. Maybe they'll open for us on this world tour. That's what we'll do. The Apple keynote world tour for podcasts. Okay. Awesome. Thank you, at Paramentine. Pick'em results from Friday night. Nuggets, Warriors. I needed it. Oh boy, did I need it. These pick'em results brought to you by BetMGM, by the way. I took the Warriors. I swerved. Everybody else had Denver. Yeah. Warriors coming through for me. I'm still alive. Running out of time in the month of April, but I got it done there. Curry helped me out. So I'm 6-11. Still brutal record. Tass and Lee, 10-7, and Trey's right there behind them at 9-8. But correct me if I'm wrong. We got five nights here this week in April when it comes to the pick'ems.
You're
so
not
I'm
wrong.
Not technically out of it, and I don't even need to swerve every single time. But Tass, obviously all of these are huge for me. What's tonight's game we're picking from?
Well, the hottest team in the world playing in the hottest stadium in the world. It's the New York Knicks playing at home against the Phoenix Suns. The Knicks have won 9 in a row, and they're slight underdogs, 2.5 points to the Phoenix Suns, who are closing out a road trip of 5 games. They started out that road trip super hot. They beat the Bucks, the Sixers, then they lost to the Celtics and the Nets. They're on a back-to-back, but they didn't have to travel. Brooklyn, New York. So they're right there. And then the Knicks, they speaking of road trips, they've got a tough sked a little bit. I mean, the Suns here, then I think they have the Bulls, but then the 6-game road trip. So these home games are important, I think, to the Knicks.
Right.
So Suns at Knicks, +2.5 New York. Trey, who you rocking?
The Knicks are more rested playing at home on a massive win streak, and they're the underdogs?
Yeah.
Excuse me? Give me the Knicks, baby.
Okay. Lee, who you got?
Yeah, it's the Knicks feel due for a loss, but the Suns on that back-to-back, I just wonder if maybe even Chris Paul sits out tonight. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, I don't know. But I like the Knicks by at least -2 points. They can lose this game and still win the cover, so I'll take the Knicks.
Okay, I'll go so you can make your decision there, Skeets. I think the Suns close out this road trip well. I don't think they're going home 2-3. I think they're going home 3-2. I'm betting against the hottest team in the NBA. Give me the Phoenix Suns.
I think I'm going to go with you here, Tass. I feel like I'm getting a chance here to pick the favorite. You know, again, I need to make up these games, with especially Trey taking the Knicks. Yeah, they're the hottest team in the league, but I'll take the Suns. I will take the Suns in this. I like that point that Trey made, actually. You sold me on it, saying, you know, they're in a back-to-back, but, you know, they're not jumping on a plane and have to go, a different time zone or anything like that, so... Give me Phoenix to cover. They got to win by 3. That is the dangerous part here. It could be a Suns win, but by 1 or 2, and the Knicks would cover, like Lee said. So Suns by 3, Tass and I. We got Lee and Trey taking the Knicks to, maybe even extend that winning streak to 10. Come on, Devin Booker. I need a big game in MSG tonight, baby. Come through for me. Keep me alive. All right. We're going to call it there. Fun show. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments for this week's Beach Steppin podcast. Grab your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. Subscribe to The Athletic already, TheAthletic.com/NoDunks, so they know that we sent you. And join us later today if you're a Top Shot hot boy or girl. 3 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. TK and I are going to rip some packs, give away some momes, and again, I'm going to hit you with my top 10 craziest shots on Top Shot. There's some wild ones out there that maybe you will want to go acquire and make a showcase or something like that. So it'll be a lot of fun. Always have a blast with those. So we'll see you later today, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, if you're envious of those who are able to be around Madison Square Garden and take in the Knicks, just eat some Chinese food. Get your own MSG like I did yesterday. It was tasty. Okay, hold on a second. What are these momes? Is that short for moments?
Yeah.
No one can say moments? Okay. Just clarifying, like, it wasn't their own category or something. Momes or moments. All right. Cool. Just want to make sure.
Imbra-la-da. People got a short form everything.